It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low.
And our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
There's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are a hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life.
And certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm gonna be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need just to be honest about the American people, with the American people about the fact that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right, because this is New York and you're in elevators and trains with everybody all the time.
Oh, what a difference a little time makes. Those were Democratic officials. You heard the health commissioner of New York City. You heard the mayor of New York. You heard Nancy Pelosi encouraging people to come to Chinatown. You heard all of that. And they were all Democratic leaders in various states now clamoring for federal help. And, of course, New York experiencing the apex of the number of deaths in the United States. Sandy Rios with you. It is my job to talk to you every morning. By the way, it's a privilege. I mean, yes, it's sometimes it's a little overwhelming, I have to say, but it's a privilege. And I was just praying with Adam this morning about I'm honored that God would put me in this position. I've been, you know, doing radio for a long time, and I've been through several crises or difficult times in the country. I think one of the hardest for me was when Bill Clinton was impeached, and we lived and breathed that, and I couldn't, there was no escape. Every day, people looked to me. I was in Chicago, and we did a three-hour show. I had to have a ton of information, and I had to know exactly what I was talking about, and I feel a little bit that way this time, only this is even more crucial because of its implications, not only on our personal freedoms as American citizens, giving up constitutional rights left and right as though it's nothing, but the threat that people feel of death by this pandemic, the coronavirus. Then yesterday, of course, at the White House, the president stood up and said that there's another threat, and it's now from the cartels, the drug lords. And so he stood and made an announcement about what we're doing to fight back on that. Here's President Trump.
Today, the United States is launching enhanced counter-narcotics operations in the Western Hemisphere to protect the American people from the deadly scourge of illegal narcotics. We must not let the drug cartels exploit the pandemic to threaten American lives.
We're at war with COVID-19, we're at war with terrorists, and we are at war with the drug cartels as well. Now is not the time to try to penetrate the United States with illegal drugs to kill Americans. With the United States military, we will defend our country regardless of the cost.
All right, so that was Admiral Milley. Sorry, I have so much information this morning. It's laughable, but kind of pathetic, and it's hard for me to get through all of it. But that was Admiral Milley, Mark Milley, and also he's the Joint Chiefs of Staff General and President Trump. Yeah, so now there's a war that we're sending ships in to fight and push back on that. And then we've been hearing that Iran was planning an attack on our troops. You know, our enemies are sensing our vulnerability, and they see how much money we're pouring into this and how, you know, we can't long do that. Yet Nancy Pelosi's talking about, you know, more stimulus, man. She's got to have more. In fact, we should stop just for a second and give you an idea of what she's asking for in this next round. That's clip two, Adam.
The last one was $2 trillion. Do you have a price tag on this one?
Well, $2 trillion, let's put that in perspective. Everybody says, oh, it's the biggest bill, this or that. It was comparable to what the president and the Republicans did with their tax scam to give 83% of the benefits to the top 1% in our country. That was over with interest. It was close to $2 trillion bill that didn't create jobs, only added to the national debt. So let's not make it sound like this is something so exorbitant. It's for a much better purpose. It is investing in people. It is what is absolutely urgently needed. But again, we need more. And we can't just stop and say, well, since we have only spent as much as we spent on the tax bill, we can't spend any more. No, no. And again, the state and local governments, I'm so proud of my own governor in California, Gavin Newsom. Andrew Cuomo is just doing a remarkable, remarkable job. Governor Hogan, a Republican chairman of the National Governors Association, speaking truth about what the challenge is. The governors and the cities and municipalities need resources. They have a job to do without the coronavirus. So with this additional challenge, they need more resources, and we should be able to do that and consider them investments.
All right, so she talks a good game for a couple of things. She's talking about this next package. We just signed a $2.2 trillion package last week. Now Nancy Pelosi once more, and she has great plans for this. She talks a good game. She talks about how the last package that was signed is just like President Trump when he signed that tax break that went to the, you know, the wealthiest, the top 1%, the corporate. Now, there's a big difference, because when you get a tax break, that means you get to keep more of your own money, more of your own earned income. When you do a major $2.2 trillion handout bill, you are taking from some people and giving to others. That's very different. But Nancy Pelosi has great plans. They're already making long lists of the things they want. The president has actually indicated that he's interested in doing infrastructure, which is very concerning to me. I have to tell you, it's very concerning to me. The Wall Street Journal had a editorial by James Freeman. James, I usually watch the Wall Street Journal report on Sunday afternoons, and James is one of the participants on the panel, if you ever watch that. But his headline alone says, Dr. Fauci's inconvenient policy. If public health officials are calling the shots, they should understand the costs. And James lays it out. We'll put that article, by the way, on our Facebook page so that you can see what he has to say in particular. But we've talked about costs. I want to just give you an idea. Someone sent this to me. There's a Goldman Sachs paper on what happens when the unemployment rate goes up, the effect on people's mental health. And it basically says that in a 1% increase in the annual unemployment rate, approximately 21 additional suicides per 100,000 of the population can be expected. Now, they're estimating that we will move from 3% unemployment to 15%. I'm not even sure where we are. It might be higher than that today, as far as I know. But it's already, people are losing their jobs left and right. So based on just, let's say, 15%, based on the numbers from that Goldman Sachs report, it could lead to, are you ready? 831,600 suicides from people being laid off from their jobs, and that's quadruple the top-end estimate of the China virus deaths. I'm just trying to put this in perspective, because there are real costs to human lives when we do these things. Several states now are shutting down. Florida implementing. It's not optional anymore. You have to stay to yourself, and other states are already experiencing that. Many of you are. In fact, we're going to open the phone lines to talk about that a little bit. But every state's a little different. But most of you, 36 states, I think, have implemented this. I want to read something from Daniel Horowitz. Daniel is with Conservative Review. That's Mark Levin's outlet, and he's our frequent guest. And he's written an article called "It's Time to Make the State Governments Feel the Pain and Consequences of the Disproportionate Shutdown of America." So far, Daniel says, all the damage to our liberty and economy is being pushed by state and local governments, not the feds. On the other hand, all the bailouts and responsibility for dealing with the fallout of their virtue-signaling decisions are being placed on the president. Isn't it time for state legislatures and county councils to convene and take full responsibility? If they're big enough to declare nuclear winter on liberty, jobs, and the economy, they are big enough to handle the blowback and pay for their decisions. To that end, citizens should pressure their state officials to suspend numerous forms of state taxation during the duration of the shutdown. The longer the shutdown continues, the longer states should do without their revenue. Consider governors like Virginia's Ralph Northam. I'm skipping on in the piece. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, who plans to shutter the economy until at least June 10th. How does he expect people to pay their property taxes? And if a single man can rule by fiat without a rigorous and transparent debate in the legislature, then why should the citizens pay taxes at all? Aren't we back to where we started in 1776 with taxation by King George without representation? As of now, governors can virtue signal on the cheap without owning up to the consequences of their actions and being forced to balance tough decisions and outcomes. Unlike federal taxes, most state taxes come from sales and property and are still being paid. Plus, governors have the federal government paying for the entire economic mess and bailing out the states with printed funny money. Thus, from their end, they can keep this charade going forever, even if prudence dictates that within the next few weeks we should pursue a different strategy for coronavirus. It's time to return to self-government. It's simply indefensible for Congress and state legislatures to remain out of session without public hearings and debate, at least remotely, over every aspect of the lockdown strategy and its cascading effects on our lives. If at this juncture in history, with the outcome of every aspect of our lives hanging in the balance more than at any time since World War II, elected representatives are hiding in their bunkers, then why do we even have them? I think Daniel's got a very good point on that. I made the same. These senators who couldn't wait to get out of town before they passed that $2.2 trillion because they were afraid for their safety. I'm not mocking their safety. But I guess the sailors on that ship maybe are concerned about their safety, too, and they're not coming home or can't go home to mom or their homes, and neither can healthcare workers. Congress are kind of like the captains of the ship, and Daniel's right. In state houses, you know, they're letting the governors do these draconian things, and meanwhile, from the safety of their home, they're watching it all. So there's something wrong with this picture. I believe there is something wrong with this picture. I also want to say, Kevin Freeman was our guest about, I believe we talked with Kevin about the economic fallout. Kevin is a host on, Adam, help me find his show and then we'll give it out. But let me just say, he's done an article called, I don't know what it's called, because this is a link I'm using. It's a link to China Daily. China Daily is the official newspaper of Red China. It's, of course, a communist, communist sanctioned, of course, at the very least, if not communist written. And here's a cartoon they have in the China Daily dated the 20th of March. It's got a picture of the COVID virus with cowboy boots on, sitting in a chair with a smoking gun, smoking a cigarette. And that's the corona, and smiling. That's the coronavirus. And then on the wall is the head of a bull. And it's labeled stock markets. Very happy they are. And by the way, I hear that China's industry is just booming. They put everybody back to work. They're making all of this stuff because they know that the world is shut down. And so they're not exactly going to, you know, waste these moments while they infected the world with this virus by hiding information, not being honest about the infectiveness of this coronavirus. And the World Health Organization carrying their water. Man, they thought of everything. And so here we are. Lots more to say about that. And I am going to open the phone lines too. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Every day, babies in their mothers' wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Stephen Biegun, Deputy Secretary of State of the United States. His office carries out United States foreign policy and international relations while also advising the President. Galatians 5:13 reminds us of the importance of serving one another. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Stephen Biegun in his role at the Department of State. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Over the years, I've grown accustomed to attacks from the mainstream media goes with the job. But over the past few days, I've been accused of some outrageous charges by the New York Times and NBC News, and I believe those charges must be answered. For several weeks now, leaders in New York City have described our hospitals as war zones. So I went to my neighborhood hospital to find out if, in fact, it was a war zone. The video I filmed, which is available on ToddStarnes.com, went viral. There was no one in line to get a coronavirus test. My video dispelled the media's apocalyptic narrative. And that's when they attacked. The New York Times called me a far-right conspiracy theorist. And NBC News said I was leading a coronavirus hoax movement. Those reports are flat-out lies. And I've demanded both news agencies retract and publicly apologize for their stories, or else they will see me in court. And that's no hoax. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
When you talk about could we have known something different, you know, I think all of us, I mean, I was overseas when this happened in Africa. And I think when you looked at the China data originally and you said, oh, well, there's 80 million people or 20 million people in Wuhan and 80 million people in Hubei, and they come up with a number of 50,000, you start thinking of this more like SARS than you do this kind of global pandemic. I mean, I'll just be frank. That when I looked at it, I was like, oh, well, this is not, you know, if, as close as those quarters are, you know. So I think the medical community interpreted the Chinese data as that this was serious, but smaller than anyone expected, because I think probably we were missing significant amount of the data now that when we see what happened to Italy and we see what happened to Spain. And so what was modeled is not a lockdown. Two countries did remove people from homes that were positive and put them in separate spaces. That also wasn't modeled, but it could be modeled. And so we could go back and ask the modelers about lockdown versus not lockdown. But what they modeled was people staying at home.
All right, that was Dr. Birx in the conference yesterday. Now, I have to balance what I'm saying to you. These are like contradictory statements. I still, in my own life, practice listening to the authorities and doing what they're saying to do. But my mind is not so easy to tame. And so, because I just feel like truth is of the essence here. And my understanding, and I'll tell you a couple of things, people that I know and trust are affirming with their expertise what I feel in my gut, and that is that these models are way off, and that it was very, very, very convenient that the president was talking about opening up the economy on Easter, and suddenly we have these models, these new models that show why you can't do that, because actually the apex of the virus is going to hit that weekend. It's going to be the very worst possible ever on Easter. They didn't say that. You see the timeline, though. It is Easter. And the projections of 200,000, something like that, 200,000, 250,000, are, according to people that I know who actually do models, ridiculous, outrageous. Now, look, I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. I'm just telling you, there's something wrong with this picture. And I got an email this morning. Listen, this is the one day I have to say to you, you know, generally speaking, I read everything you send. I'm having trouble keeping up, so I haven't. And I surely, you have to know, I cannot watch all the things you send me or read all the things that you write if they're lengthy. But I am trying. And so it's always better if you can keep things to a minimum, a shorter. I'm just saying, if I have it, because if I see an email that's page after a couple, even a couple of pages that has text and all of that, it's really hard. Or if you send me a video that's an hour or 45 minutes, it's very hard. And so I just don't want to disappoint you with my lack of ability to do what you're sharing with me. This one, though, was sent by Kira. And I think I listened to it. I watched almost the entire thing this morning. It's a doctor from Germany. I believe he's Indonesian, I'm guessing, by his name. But he's speaking in German with it's translated into English. He's an I think he's an epidemiologist, and he has tons of credentials, which he shares. I think he's been working 25 years in a major hospital in Germany, and he's speaking. He's doing like a message to Angela Merkel, and he's basically laying out the flaws in the modeling and what is generally done in these situations. And one thing that maybe is easy for us lay people to understand, he's saying that he thinks they're throwing in the basket all of the people that have any symptoms at all and sharing those in the numbers. And he said, we never do that. We just don't do that. This is a skewed result. And we are basically, you know, civil liberties in all these countries. They don't have the same rights as we do as American citizens in many of these cities, but they're still experiencing, you know, draconian policies, he says, are not warranted by what he sees. And this, I believe he recorded this just a few days ago. So we're going to put, I don't always post the things you send, and I won't. So just know that. But I am going to post this message from him to have you watch. It is, he's addressing, of course, Angela Merkel. He's not talking about the U.S., but the principle is the same. And I find him very convincing, and also it comports with what other people that I trust are saying. So Kira, thanks for this. Yeah, thank you for sending that, and we'll put that on our Facebook page. Where to go next? Let's see. So China, I've told you there's so many volumes of things I could share, but the problem is we think that this could be like an innocent thing that happened in their open market in Wuhan, or it could be have developed either on purpose or accidentally in their Wuhan laboratory, which is just right there, as a matter of fact. And we happen to know now, because of the writing of some of the communist leaders and generals from just a few years ago, I think it was 1998, the one I'm thinking about was written, where they were planning on, you know, taking down the West. One of the issues for them is population. They have too much population for the land mass, and they wanted more space. So they're actually openly talking about how to, like, thin the herd and conquer other areas of the world. That's how this all started. There's discussion of using chemical weapons and chemical warfare. And so that's why people are saying, well, gee, do you think maybe the Chinese might have done this on purpose? I don't know. But that is a speculation. Or was it an accident in the lab? Maybe, surely it was an accident. Surely they didn't mean to do this. But I told you yesterday that FBI agents in November, I think it was in, it might have been in Detroit. I think it was. Or Minneapolis, where they stopped a person getting off a plane from China who happened to have vials of these deadly viruses in his briefcase and said he was bringing them to, had been requested to someplace in the States. Now, what's that all about? We really don't know. We just know that story. So you put these stories together and then you say, what's going on here? And I just told you that from all accounts, I read it from this Indian, and I mean East Indian news source, that China's building their economy back left and right because the rest of the world is shut down. And so they're having a good old time right now. Now, Gordon Chang, if he were here, would probably tell me, it'd be nice to call him up, but he's been saying, you know, China's economy has been contracting, and so it has. But this is their chance for this big comeback, so we'll see what happens with that. A friend of mine said to me yesterday, and I hadn't even thought of this, she said, I'm looking on everything I buy, and I've decided not to, if it's made in China, I'm not buying it. I'll pay more, I'll do something else. And I think that's a very good suggestion. It's probably time for us to take this thing to heart. Excuse me. Let me give you, there's just so much. I'm going to read. Sorry, allergies again this morning. I want to read you a couple of email from people that I think have some important things that you need to hear. Leah points out in Virginia that the Republican primary is on June the 9th, and the Democratic governor there, Governor Northam, just happened to shut down the state until, guess what date? June the 10th. And so the people in Virginia, maybe some of you from Virginia can weigh in on that and find out if people are trying to make plans to do anything to counter that. Another listener, whose name I don't know here, is making a better, gave more detail about something I alluded to last week but didn't have the data in front of me. So sorry. Okay. He's comparing. Oh, I just read what he says. He talks about how the Democrats are shutting everything down. That's Republicans too. But it's the Democrats who are, you know, fanning the flames on this, happy to shut things down. Initially, remember that clip I played at the top of the show? They were telling people in New York and Nancy Pelosi in California, oh, no, don't stay home. Listen, nothing to see here. The mayor of New York also, no big deal. Go out and shopping. They weren't so worried until they realized what a great, this is my speculation, I don't know their motives, but I'm thinking that maybe they thought that this would be a great way to get tons of money out of Congress to scare people and then maybe control people, because that's the way the left thinks. But, you know, maybe they didn't have that in mind. But now let's just say that the same Democrats that were telling their people in their districts it was no big deal are now, you know, send us more money. This is a terrible tragedy. Donald Trump is failing. So, but these are the same people who didn't care too much about people that were infected with a virus in 1981. Anybody know what that was? That was HIV/AIDS. It was initially called the gay virus because it was affecting, it was going crazy in the gay community. And gay men and men primarily, because of the way they behave. I'll just clean it up a little bit. We're dying in incredible numbers. This is verifiable. It was a horrible situation. And yet this is what happened. I want to read from our listener here. At the time, they were clamoring and won out that not only were those infected with AIDS not to be quarantined, but the Democratic Party demanded fierce penalty of law on those in the medical field that would even let the infected spouse's partners know, let alone anyone else. Even nurses and nurses' aides were not allowed to know who tested positive for the disease. Many got out of the medical field because of the fear that they would contract the disease from their patients. And there was not time to take every precaution with every patient. And if they were not allowed to know who had the AIDS virus, how could they take extra precaution to protect themselves? He talks about his own mother passing away and during this time, and getting infected, and he talks about the great care they took about protecting themselves and that infection. But he says, if the Democratic Party is truly caring about people, how come they gave unrightful protection to those that had the AIDS virus and crucified those trying to protect from it? I remember they made dentists, dentists could not refuse to treat patients that were positive with AIDS. This was a huge situation in this country. There was also this big issue about should people with AIDS be giving blood, and the answer was no, but then they fought back on that as well. They made sure that people that were HIV/AIDS positive, not only did they squelch their records so that no one could know, but they were not allowed to be let go in restaurants. You can understand. I mean, their employment was at stake, but the health of the nation, we knew that the AIDS virus could be spread through human, any kind of fluid, like sweat or a spit or blood. And so if you're talking about restaurant workers or anyone in healthcare professionals, or you know, you can just extrapolate from there, it was dangerous to the general population, and the Democrats forced us to accept people who were HIV/AIDS positive and not protect ourselves. We couldn't even know who they were to protect ourselves. So suddenly now it's an apoplexy over coronavirus. And we're willingly complying, and yet we know that I have some stats today that are not in front of me about how the coronavirus, even this particular strand of it, COVID-19, is about as contagious as the flu. Dr. Fauci himself actually admitted that in a New England Journal School of Medicine article that I shared with you a few days ago. I think it came out over the weekend. And so this is what we're going bonkers over. This is what you're losing your freedoms over. And now let me give you some good news, and I will go to the phone lines. The hydroxychloroquine has, it's now they're calling it the miracle drug. Some people are, not the medical profession. But the FDA has approved the use of it, and now prescriptions have soared from 100,000 to 300 in 1 week. Novartis AG's Sandoz donated over 30 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. Bayer AG donated 1 million doses of chloroquine to the national stockpile. So increasingly larger shipments of chloroquine are scheduled over the next 8 months. And we've told you just incredible. Remember the president said, he mentioned that in a press conference. And Fauci and the other doctor, Fauci especially, said, well, we can't confirm that. You know, we're not weighing in on that. But the president said, well, I kind of think I'm pretty hopeful about this. And obviously he had information about this, which is some of the information I shared with you. I think I told you yesterday that in France, out of, I'm going to throw this number out because it was not a large group, but it was something like out of 79 people who had been treated with chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, 77 had recovered, had the symptoms were gone. So it really is a miracle drug. And so be encouraged. I'm not saying for a minute that people are not sick and dying. I am questioning the numbers. You bet I am. And I am questioning the response. So with that, you know, much more to say, but let me hear from you, and we'll have some of these other discussions in the course of your questions or comments. Let's go to Wes in Oklahoma. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, Sandy. It's such an honor to talk to you this morning. I try to listen every morning.
Thank you.
It's just makes my day. If I don't hear you, my day is ruined, so. Thank you so much for everything
you do.
That's
very kind. Very kind, thank you.
The big scare going out, it's becoming kind of concerning. You hear, see videos about, you know, they're going to be putting up roadblocks and you can't be out unless you have your vaccination wristband and stuff like this. Are we headed for the mark of the beast?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you said that. I was talking to a dear friend of mine yesterday. She was a former missionary, one of my dearest for years. And I was saying to her, is the mark of the beast nest 666 on our foreheads before we can buy bread? That doesn't even sound as fantastic as it once sounded. I remember when I was a kid and I read that you'd have to have the mark of the beast in order to buy and sell. And I thought, well, that was just so weird. What does that mean? But now we can actually kind of see that conceptually, can't we? Wes, thanks for, you know, bringing that to our attention. We don't know when Jesus is going to come, and we don't know when the end is going to come. But we are, you know, the groanings, the birth pangs, we are certainly seeing those. Let's go to the phones afterwards, after this break, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A friend of mine who pastors a church in Nigeria once said to me, "You know, America has sent more missionaries into the world than any other nation before it. But the nation that once sent missionaries has now become the mission field." As you consider the calling God has for you, I just want to remind you that just as other nations need missionaries, we need missionaries in America, too. There are a lot of neighborhoods right here in our country that desperately need evangelism and discipleship. Let's not forget about them.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Jan Markell with Understanding the Times Radio. Won't you join me this weekend as I help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become a watchman on the wall? I hope you'll join me each week as we do that together right here on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
I remember reading a story about a driver who was lost in the countryside of England. He asked a farmer how to get to London. The farmer said, "Well, if I was going to London, I wouldn't start from here." This is Brian Fisher with today's Life and Liberty Minute. If we're going to get where we want to go in life, we have to start at the right place. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we want to get the only kind of knowledge that truly counts in life, we must begin with the fear of the Lord. This is not a cringing fear, but an awesome reverence for God. Solomon wrote Proverbs as a training manual for his own sons. He wanted them to know that the path to manhood begins at the foot of the throne of God. I built my book for fathers, the Boy to Man book, on the wisdom of Proverbs. Order a copy today at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The U.S. intelligence community has reportedly confirmed what has been obvious to anyone paying attention. The Chinese Communist Party has been maliciously untruthful from the get-go about the coronavirus it unleashed on the world. Two unnamed sources cited by Bloomberg described the classified report's conclusions more diplomatically, saying the data supplied by Beijing were, quote, intentionally incomplete, unquote. Call it what you will. The devastating effect of the Communist Chinese selectively releasing such information was confirmed on Tuesday by Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House point person on COVID-19. It kept our government from properly understanding and quickly responding to a pandemic involving a highly contagious disease. In other words, to paraphrase a favorite Democratic talking point from the George W. Bush years, China lied, people died. The Chinese Communist Party must be held accountable for that appalling truth and continuing scandal. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios, back with you. I want to share a couple of things from listeners before we go to the phones. This is from Barbara, and she wrote to encourage me. Beautiful, Barbara. Thank you. I read what you wrote this morning. It was just beautiful. And then she says, Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised he would never leave us or forsake us. I pray it will cause people that are lost to see the hope that is in Christ. He is risen. Yeah, he is risen. And we are getting ready to celebrate Easter. And could I just encourage you practically? I'm doing this. Can you be thinking now about how you might celebrate Easter in a very meaningful way? It might look different this year, depending on what your church does. And be thinking now about maybe digging out your Easter music that you love so much. Be thinking about who you can have in your home, who's permissible and who isn't, if your state allows that. But make it special. It can be special. I remember one time when I had a choir, I used to be a choir director, yes, of all the other million things in my life I've done. And we were on tour, and it was Easter Sunday morning, and we were actually sleeping. We didn't sing that morning. It was very unusual. We were sleeping behind the curtain of a stage in sleeping bags. It was so strange. And we got up, and we had nothing to celebrate with, and we took popcorn and Coke and had communion together. That's what we did for Easter and just shared. So I hope you don't have to do that. I hope you can be a little more have a little more resource than we had that morning. But I'm just saying, think about it now so that this Easter can be incredibly special. I just saw, perhaps you did if you were watching Fox this morning, I saw medical nurses on the roof of a hospital praying, lifting their hands in prayer, bowing. There was more than one picture of this in various hospitals. It was just so beautiful. Let the people of God shine. Franklin Graham in Central Park in New York City with Samaritan's Purse, that hospital. God is just, Franklin's doing God's work and in God's way. I just so respect him. God bless Franklin. And, of course, the people of New York are having a fit because he's a homophobe, and how dare you let his ministry come in here. And so that's quite a controversy. You know, it's going to be a battle, but this is where, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father that is in heaven. Let's do that. Can we do that? All right, so this is from Tanisha. She says, I love your show. I just wanted to say, my husband is deployed, was due to be home in 3 weeks, and now we have no idea when he will be home. It's heartbreaking. I would love to get back home so he can come home. God bless you and stay safe. Tanisha, I never thought about that. I never, ever thought about people in your circumstance and this affecting you like that, so let's pray for Tanisha. Lord, I'll pray right now. Just be with her and calm her. And she is paying the price for this. And her husband, you know. And so I just pray that you would bring this to a conclusion because people's lives are being hurt. Hear the cries of your people, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. All right, let me just say this is from Sharon. And she points out something interesting. She said it was January 21st of 2019 when New York celebrated the abortion bill they passed, allowing death to infants to extend beyond birth. I find it interesting that 1 year later, they are dealing with disease and death of their people. Boy, I never thought of the timeline, Sharon, but excellent point. This is from Cheryl. She said, I'm a senior in Kansas. I would chance my future life for my country and for future generations. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The left doesn't get that. The gospel smells like death to them. But it is the answer, smelling sweet to believers. Isn't this the same that all persons in our military did in our wars, laying down their lives for others? And Cheryl, beautiful, profound. Thank you for giving me that to read. I can't read this one. I wish I could. Sherry sent this wonderful story about a doctor, I believe in Italy, who was not a Christian, but an old man, 75 years old, pastor, came into the hospital with a coronavirus, serious breathing problems, and I guess it was corona. And he had a Bible with him and impressed us every day. He would read it to the dying as he held their hands. And he made such an impression on this doctor. It was Dr. Julian, and the other doctors with him were atheists too. Let me just interject. You remember when we talked to Soren last Friday, Kern, who lives in Spain? He was telling us how dead the people of Europe are to just the notion of God and how, no, they're not crying out to God. It's just they don't care. They're just so post-Christian. And yet, Dr. Julian, it seems, I believe, in Italy, was an atheist along with his other doctors. They see this 75-year-old pastor who is sick himself, and he's praying for other people, holding their hands and interceding, and he did die. And they said the way he died was just It moved them so much that Dr. Julian has given his life to Christ. And he talks about how happy he is to have found God, how sad to be in that situation, but how happy he is. It's just it's a great story. It's on our Facebook page, offered by Sherry Vonaskoyek. I'm not sure, Sherry, sorry, blowing your last name. But all right, so let me go to the phones. I know I've talked quite a bit in this segment, but weren't those important things? I wanted you to hear what God is doing, because, of course, he never sleeps, and he the left thinks they made that up, never waste a good crisis, but actually it was God who thought of that first, because he does never waste a good crisis. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Good morning, Iris.
Hi, Sandy. This is a thrill to get through to you the first time.
Thank you.
I brag about you all the time, and I just want to tell you that we are doing grateful boxes to pass on to our small group every day, something to be grateful, and I'm grateful for great Christian communicators like you who speak the truth in love.
Thank you.
I want to say that from the bottom of my heart. But my question is, after all that has been revealed just now, from one of your communicators that came in, Frank Gaffney, do you think President Trump will hold China accountable and the legislators for releasing this? Is the information seems to be that they may have done this on purpose. I would love your comment on this.
Okay, Iris, I'm going to let you go, and I will thank you for those kind comments. Yeah, I think, you know, look at the president's history with China. He has been calling China out since long before he ever became a candidate for president. He's been very consistent. He is no fool when it comes to China in every way. And so, yes, he's got Mike Pompeo there. He's got Mark Meadows is now on the job as his chief of staff. These are not fools. And I'm telling you, some really good people are coming into the administration that I pray. And I know they will. They'll have tremendous influence on him in a good way. He has his own instincts about China are right. So, yeah, the answer is yes. I actually do. So we'll wait and see what form that takes. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Good morning, Joe.
Yes, good morning, Sandy. Here's what really bothers me about this whole thing. It looks clear to me that the Democrats and the media have been acting absolutely criminal and treasonous in the way they've been dealing with this thing. It looks like they collaborated with China to bring this on. They're trying to extend the shutdown as much as possible, even if it's not necessary, so as to inflict the maximum economic damage on this country. And they're trying to suppress effective treatments for the virus that have been found, like the chloroquine and the zinc. Apparently, zinc deficiency is big reason why people are susceptible to virus infections. And the Democrats are trying to hide that kind of information from people. And so even if under Trump's excellent leadership we get through this without too much damage, you know, they're still going to be in all the positions of power in the government and in the media, and they'll immediately begin cooking up some new plot against this country. And they'll immediately begin figuring out new ways, new ways, you know, even worse than this probably, to inflict damage on this country as long as they're in their positions of power in the media and in the governments. So I think the Democrats and the media have to be treated like an invading foreign enemy and dealt with accordingly, or else we'll never get through problems like this and never get back to having a decent life in this country.
Well, unfortunately, Joe, you're probably right about that. I can't offer a solution in this moment, except there is an election coming up, and I keep telling all of you, and you know that if you listen, this is a time to be a Christian citizen. Step up to the plate and take your responsibility. There is something else you can do, I would suggest. Joe, I'm going to let you go, but let me respond to this. There is something else. Your local governments and the White House, the White House would be more difficult for you, but I'd say your congressmen, your senators, and your local officials need to hear from you, and especially, and this is what I think the message should be, personally, is that they've got to open up. They've got to open up the economy because so much more destruction is going to happen. And the way to make that case is to share your story, stories that you know, verifiable stories, not just rumors or something you saw on Facebook about people that are struggling, like that the Tanisha that we just prayed for, whose husband now is stuck overseas, and he was supposed to be home, and she was looking forward to it. It was on her calendar. Now, that's not, you know, death or dying, but that's important, but there will be other fallouts. I have a friend who's she's diagnosed. She has a problem, and she can't get a test. because the hospital will not, you know, is virtually shut down right now, and it's a serious problem. And I bet there are stories upon stories upon stories about things like that. So write those down and tell your congresspeople. Open, this is what's happening. You think that's the only damage? This is happening. And some of you in your state, you know, there are very few cases and very few people dying. So we are in a different boat, many of us, than New York. And yet they said yesterday, I played clips for you, that they're basing their procedure on what's happening in New York and New Jersey. And many of us think, Louisiana also, that one size does not fit all in this case. So we need to give quantifiable reasons why they need to take a different look and a different approach to this. All right, so thank you very much for that call. Let's go to Josh in North Carolina. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Sorry, my signal's not too great. I'm going to try to make this brief. I just sent you something over Facebook. It was from a movie that was released 3 years ago. They had an image of a bunch of coffins lined up. The mainstream media tried to pass that off as a picture from Italy with coffins for the coronavirus, but that was actually more fake news. It was that same picture was in a movie that was released 3 years ago on Showtime. So there's that.
Oh, you sent it to me, right, Josh? And you can verify that?
No, well, I just, I mean, if you look at the two pictures side by side, they're pretty much the same picture, so.
Okay, I'll pass that on. Okay, I'll look at it. And, you know, just to, before you, I'm going to come back to your thought, I promise. Remember that the CBS has been showing hospitals in Italy overrun with patients, the operating rooms, claiming it's New York City. So just to put this in context with what Josh has just told us. Okay, Josh, what's your second point?
Well, my main concern is the fact that Governor Cuomo, you know, his brother works for CNN. They're both very, very liberal. And he came out and said, it gives me no joy to shut down churches. That's an absolute lie because these people hate Christians. They hate God. And they know that God dwells in the praise of his people. And they want to keep us from praying and keep us because they know that God is stopping them from accomplishing their evil plans. So we need to be meeting in groups of twos and threes because the Lord said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So we need to keep gathering in small groups and keep praying because they're trying to stop us from gathering and praying, and they revel in it.
Yep, I think you're right, Josh, but they won't stop us. They won't stop us. And a lot of people will be stopped. The church is going to dwindle as times get worse. I don't mean now in the next few weeks and the coronavirus. I'm talking about just a prophecy. We know things are going to get very, very difficult. And there won't be very many people who are faithful. And so don't be shocked when you see that happening, even in these early stages. Just hold fast, steadfast, faithful to the end. Those of you who really love the Lord Jesus, you know, hang on, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Josh, thanks a lot. Let's go to let's go to Kim in Arkansas. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Sandy. I have a recommendation for you to please find someone who can coordinate this. Let's reclaim Resurrection Sunday. I'm looking at Luke 24. Verse 45 to 53, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And continue, if we could get everyone to simultaneously sing the same song at, let's say, 9:43 through 9:53 to bring to light those verses all across the world for 24 hours, Luke 24, verses 45 through 53. If we could all sing like a group of Christian singers, a mutual loved group, a variety, simultaneously using Zoom over Facebook, live streaming.
Kim, okay, that's very interesting, very, very creative. We're running out of time, so I can't listen to the rest of it, but that's an excellent thought, Kim. It's an excellent thought. If you have a way of making that happen, then I just say go for it. All right, so thank you all. I'm sorry I didn't get to all the calls. Tomorrow we have an incredible story on what's happening to our voting process as a result of this virus. And you will want to tune in and listen. So thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.